an addict. My name is Cody. From the Recovery at Work group, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's right.
And I wasn't expecting to do this, but I was telling Gene before this that like my journey. Okay, so. So Gene B was like this, you know, whenever you come up in here and there's like these all-stars of NA whenever you're new, like these world-renowned speakers that you hear on CDs and stuff. Well, for me, it was Facebook, you know, because I was from a small town. Our stories are kind of the same. I was from a small town, and like Facebook is how I started to get to know people, like through Facebook, right? And Gene B was one of those people, you know, and like this star, you know, like traveling the world. I really thought that he was like that him and Julie were like they lived like NA, like do they do this for a living? Does NA pay them to do this, you know? NA soldier on his arm, right? Like I remember at my first Arvana, during the auction, there was an auction for like this whip and chain and stuff, and they won the auction for that, and I was like, oh my god, they're so crazy, they're so awesome. Like, hey man, and I got to meet him that year, right? And then the next year, and then start to develop a relationship and come to find out that, man, like Gene B's humility, man, like he makes me feel a part of. Like, he makes me feel, he fans my flame, not only one, anytime I'm around him, my spirit ignites. Him and Julie, right? Like, thank you. You know, I've been up to Iowa. I wore this to support. I didn't know I was going to be introducing, like, it just makes me feel equal, you know, and a part of. Anytime I'm around him, my spirit lives. You know, and what an honor and a privilege it is to do this, because I know that him and his wives, you know, that they have this thing that ignites their spirits whenever they get up here and do this, right? But as she would say, it's like time to clock in. Like, let's go. Let's go.
I'm an addict and my name is Gene. Let's clarify, I'm not no world renowned anything. I'm not even a speaker. I'm just a member of Narcotics Anonymous that has been asked to share sometimes. This is the first time I've ever actually been asked to share in this capacity in some kind of main slot where they like put me in a fucking room and everything, and that's crazy. It's weird. Like, I remember initially, like, I didn't even really want to take the room. I was like, man, well, I've been paying for rooms to travel in Narcotics Anonymous since I started doing this. It ain't no big deal. We was coming anyway. You know what I mean? We were coming anyway. But I'm grateful. Man, like, thank you for asking me to be of service. And thank you for all the work that you've done here. Hey, man, like, may I never be one of these addicts in recovery that doesn't appreciate our predecessors. May I never be someone who doesn't respect the people who blazed the trail before me. Man, like the work that has been done in Narcotics Anonymous, man, it was so I could get here. Man, thank you for the work that you put in. Like, it provided, you know, a place for me to find my way home to. That's fucking important, man. Like, what we do here is important. What we do here is important. Hey, man, like, I love you, Cody. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I don't know if anybody in here knows anything about, like, living amends or indirect amends, but I've got this indirect amend or living amends that I try to participate in regularly with my brother who passed away a little over a month before I got clean, a relationship that I was never able to work on, you know, and the men that I call my brother today, like, I try to love them like I should have loved him. So I love you, brother. And it's not a term that I throw around. You know what I mean? Hey, like, we're family in Narcotics Anonymous. Hey, some of y'all are cousins, second cousins, like distant relatives, twice removed through marriage. Like, I love y'all, man, but like, my brothers are my brothers. My immediate family in recovery is my immediate family. Like, it just, that's how it is. I'm not confused about shit like that. You know what I mean? Hey, if you haven't noticed, I use sentence-enhancing words. I swear, if that bothers you, take it up with Pat. He asked me to share. Hey, anybody that knows anything about me knows that I do that. So, like, it's not, I don't know. I mean, like, so this is, that's what you're going to get. My real value is in being myself. This is me. Who you see up here, outside of here, I mean, it's all the same gene. Like Gene B, I've been learning in developing who I am along the way in Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? Like I love this program so much. I'm trying to like get centered and pull myself back. I'm nervous. I've been trying to stay away from the idea that I was scared. That I'm not fearful to be up in front of you. Like there's an anxious nervousness. Like I take this with a great responsibility. What we do here, what happens up here, we're not special. But somebody is supposed to hear something tonight, you know. And like I'm tasked with promoting an atmosphere of recovery within Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? And like I take that really seriously. You know what I mean? I'm not up here to try to tell anybody how to live their life. So don't leave here and be like that motherfucker from Iowa trying to tell me what to do or question my membership or anything like that. Man, if something I say along the way here while I'm doing this affects you that profoundly, you may need to look at it. I don't know. But I'm just here to share my experience. Like what happened to me, how I got here, and what it looks like today. You know what I mean? Like it's been a fucking journey, man. It's been a journey. I'm blessed. I'll ask Pat. I was hoping to like pre-plan a bunch of shares because I like to do that while I'm at work. I'll practice and I have a lot of really good shares at work. I don't know if any of y'all can identify with that, like wanting to. I want y'all to like me. Like I want y'all to accept me. I want y'all to love me. Hey man, I got a fresh new outfit for this. New shoes. Hey, the pants that I originally had ordered didn't come in the mail. I was fucked up, so I went and got some pants today at the mall. The disease of addiction was active. And then I was fucked up because the hat don't really quite match the pants. You know, it's a different red. Hey, and oh, I'm like, hey, they're going to be like, actually, my guy said it. My guy said, he's like, yeah, they're probably just going to be like, man, like, can you remember that in 2022 at Arvana when that guy's hat and pants didn't match? Fuck on, man. Who gives a fuck about my pants or my hat? You know what I mean? Like, I'm still an addict. The disease of addiction is active in my life daily. I'm not confused about that. I don't know where you're all at with the disease of addiction in your life. It has not been active with the use of drugs in 8 years, 6 months, and what? I mean, come tomorrow, 8 years and 7 months. Exactly. But it's been active daily. Like the disease of addiction is active daily. It finds new places to manifest, new symptoms, new fucking, you know, aspects, all that shit. I didn't have any idea that any of that stuff even existed when I first got here. You know what I mean? But today I do. And I can laugh about some of it. I had another fucking emotionally volatile moment about 30 minutes before this all happened. I needed a water, so I walked to get a water. I'm walking back, and I realize I gotta get my literature out the car. I ain't have my literature. Like, I don't even know if I'll fucking read anything out of this thing. But it's like, hey, this is a part of me today.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a security blanket that I know that I can go to. It's what I've, the work that I've done in that over 8 years, it's inside me. But, like, it felt foreign to even attempt to come up here without it. So I started to panic. And now I got to go to the hotel. And I didn't have my wallet. My wife still got my wallet. So I get the hotel. I need a key. Well, we need your ID. I'm like, God, damn, man. Don't you know how, hey, people's lives are at stake. Don't you know? I got to go save somebody. I don't. That's what's happening in my head. I didn't say that shit. But I said, hey, I really need to get in my room. You could escort me or whatever you got to do, but can I please get a key? And they gave me a key, and I made it back with plenty of time. And I was able to recenter, and it was fine. You know, everything was fine. But that quickly, my perception and my thoughts can shift, you know, away from recovery and into disease thinking, where the self-centered part just, it's everything is about me, and it's draining. And so on the drive there, I was just thinking about this amazing experience earlier, man. I spent some time with my sponsor and a guy that I'm working with in the name of sponsorship, and we did some meditating and some nice time. And I remember my sponsor was talking about, like, the objective, really, the proof in the meditation and from that is in my interactions afterwards. You know, like, did anything actually happen to calm the inner workings? You know, and for a moment it didn't. But then I remembered that, and I was like, okay, it's going to be all right, Jim. It's going to be all right. Hey, no matter if I come up here and shit the bed, or I don't say a damn thing, there's people in here that love me. People love me here, man. Like, I was searching for love most of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't always been an addict in recovery. Like, my experience is I've done enough work in here that through living my life forward, I can look at it in reverse. You know what I mean? And I can go all the way back now to, like, single-digit years of age and look at how the disease of addiction was active in my life. I mean, in Who's an Addict, it talks about some of us believe the disease was active long before we picked up. You know, I'm one of those some. Like, our literature uses a lot of, like, some, most, many, a few, whatever. Like, I'm of that part of the literature. I identify with that. Like, the disease of addiction was active long before I picked up, because I can look back and think about how many times I thought and sat in fantasy. Like, I grew up in a home without a father. None of these things that I'm going to share right now about my upbringing are prerequisites for the disease of addiction. That's not what qualifies me as an addict. It's not what made me an addict. It's just part of my experience. You know, you may come from a completely opposite spectrum of, like, upbringing and still have the same thing that I suffer from. This is just what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? So, like, I grow up and no father. My family owned an establishment that served the socially acceptable drug of alcohol. You know, so I'm always around that. What was normal for me was to grow up, like, eat dinner in a bar 5 to 6 nights a week. My mom didn't get off till 2 a.m. You know, I seen bar fights. I seen crazy shit from a young age. I remember always, like, I fantasized. My mom was, fuck it, I'm gonna call it what it is. My mom was one of us. I understand that, like, you're an addict when you say you are. You know, like, each individual person has to make that admittance themselves. But based upon the information that I have about my mother, who is no longer with us, I'm gonna say she was an addict. You know, I mean, if she treated us like addicts treat people, you know, and there was, you know, emotional abuse, physical abuse, fucking, just there was abuse, neglect, all that shit, all that stuff. You know what I mean? And, like, so, like, missing love. I was missing love. You know, like, having that missing it from such a young age, I remember fantasizing and like, looking across the street, because I had a friend that I grew up with that lived in this really nice house, man. And he had, like, a mom and a dad, and I always imagined that they probably ate dinner at the dinner table, and it was fucking, like, Leave It to Beaver, probably, you know, whatever. I mean, it was perfect. It had to be, because that's what I played it out to be. You know, and I dreamed of having a life like that, where everything was fucking, you know, hunky-dory, and nobody, I'd ever cried myself to sleep. You know, and so fantasy became my first DOC, if you want to use treatment terms. I don't fucking believe in that shit, man. Like, I believe fucking the first thing that I used to change my fucking insides, to cover my feelings, was fantasy. Like, I wanted anything else but what I had, and so I would daydream about other things. You know, and hey, eventually, the disease of addiction does what the disease of addiction does, and it progressed. And I found my way to that substance that was available, you know, and I remember, like, the first time I used a substance, feeling the euphoric feeling of, like, the ease and comfort. You know, and our literature talks about we seek to recapture the ease and comfort we once knew. So I spent fucking years trying to feel that same feeling again. You know, running from my feelings and my emotions, running from, like, neglect, running from the fact that, like, just trying to cover up the fact that, like, I didn't think anyone loved me. You know, there were actions that happened along the way, man. We've all had things. Like, there's confusion and contradiction all throughout my life. Some that I'm still currently in the process of trying to sort through. You know, like, I won't even call him a babysitter, man. He was like an older kid in the neighborhood that always went to the park with the younger kids. And I remember, like, the bathroom was closed, and I couldn't get my pants down properly, and like he has his hand on my penis, and like he wanted me to put my hand on his. I remember running home, you know, and feeling like that something was wrong, and I told my mom about it, my grandpa about it, and I don't really know what happened from that point. But what the disease of addiction is an artist in my life, and it's painted all kinds of different pictures from that point forward that they didn't do anything, that nobody tried to protect me. And the reality is I don't fucking know. So what I'm going to be currently doing I'm currently in a four-step. I've been in a four-step for fucking ever. Because I'm going to need some help to sort through some of the confusion and contradiction that's going on there. Because the reality is I don't know what happened. But I painted a picture that nobody tried to protect me, nobody loved me, and I couldn't tell people about things that happened to me anymore. You know, more stuff like that, not exactly like that, but happened. Like sexual experiences with the neighbor boy. You know, his mom caught us, put me out. He died of cancer within a year or so. You know, or something like that. And like, I never had anybody to teach me nothing, man. Like, so I thought like it was because of what we did. You know, and I that was so wrong and so dirty that like people died from it. You know, like crazy shit, concocting fucking things in my mind. You know, so I start to form what we learn about in here, untrue belief systems about myself and about others, about the world around me. You know what I mean? And like as I grow up and I realize that I'm attracted to girls, guess they were girls first, you know, and pretty much girls most of my life till I grew up myself, you know, but like when I was attracted to females, I realized that like I could validate my feelings and justify and all that stuff through sex. You know, and like I would have to sleep with as many girls and use and abuse as many girls as I could so that you never knew what happened. And none of you would have ever known. Nobody ever knew that happened. It was all up here. It was all up here. The disease of addiction convinced me. You know what I mean? Like it convinces us that we're right and the world is wrong. It's fucking crazy what we suffer from and how skilled it is through treachery. It's cunning. It's a cunning enemy of life. Like, and so like I continue on, and one of the other major things that happened is there's two major things that happened, and I'm gonna move past my adolescence, man. Like my brother got real sick at a young age. I had a brother. It was me and my mom, my brother, and my grandma and grandpa. That was my immediate family. That was it. Never knew my father. She was an only child. It was small. So like when I come in here and I talk about like this place and these new people like being my family, like it fucking means something to me. Like y'all are my family. Like, I love you so much. And, like, my brother got real sick. And through the years, man, like, I formed such a sick feeling towards my mother. Like, the disrespect that I felt towards my mother because of the disrespect that I had felt caused me to really ultimately disrespect all women that I came in contact with in my life. You know, that disrespect started to progress on through the years of pretty much disrespecting anyone that came into my life. And then what really ultimately happens is I'm disrespecting myself because I'm treating everybody like shit. Most of all, we harm ourselves. You know, I have no ability to form relationships, no ability to love, and it was a sickening pattern that I'm still trying to work on today. Because yes, I have an amazing social media life, and I'm active in Narcotics Anonymous, but I still struggle in the area of deep, meaningful relationships. I still struggle in the area of allowing, you know, a lot of people into my life on a deep level. You know, like I still believe that y'all are going to hurt me. You know what I mean? Like, I still believe, and it's an untrue belief system, but sometimes even with time clean, things happen that allow the disease of addiction to believe that that's still true. You know, Fort Smith is an amazing place, man. Fort Smith has got an amazing place in my heart. 5 years ago, like, the memory popped up on the social media platform, man, of me and a guy back there, Richard, Friendiversary on Facebook. You know, 5 years ago, man, like I was still really new in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm gonna go back real quick. I'm gonna get back there. So basically the disease did what the disease did. You know, it progressed throughout the years. I continued to use. It manifested in different areas, substances, blah, 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 blah. The patterns of abuse and to women and in and out of treatment center, in and out of jails, in and out of all the bullshit, man. That's what it was. I used drugs to cover my feelings, and I kept landing in places where they locked the doors. You know what I mean? And eventually, it ended up in a situation on July 5th, 2013. I was walking across town. For a lot of years, man, I justified my using is like the disease justified the use of drugs. Is that I kept a roof over my head. I was a seemingly productive and responsible. If by that I meant I kept a job that I went to maybe 3 to 4 days a week. I paid my child support and would get my kid every other weekend sometimes and put her in front of the TV. You know, or when I'm in the bathroom using, you know, I was a good dad. I was a good employee. I was good, all that shit. And as long as I was doing those things, it was okay to live the life that I live. I'm a grown man. I do dope. Dope don't do me. You know what I mean? Like all that bullshit. And the reality was is that like I was getting torn out the frame. Like all that stuff started to go away. All the justifications and rationalizations fell away. And I really don't see all that till I'm here. But it was just gone. Like I'm walking across town with my backpack. And so I still carry a backpack today. It's still got my tools in it today. You know what I mean? Like I had all that bullshit in the backpack and I got a call. And it was my mom. And we had a real fucked up relationship. It just got worse and worse throughout the years. My relationship with my brother never got better, per se. But my mom called me and she told me, she's like, my Juddy, that's what we called him. His name was Justin. Juddy was his nickname. She's like, Juddy died, and whatever you do, don't come here. And so, rewind. I'm a sophomore in high school, and my little brother, he was about 4 years younger than me. And I share this because this is like one of my first real experiences with the self-centered nature of the totally self-centered nature of the disease of addiction now that I can look back at it. I'm a sophomore in high school, and he ends up with a baseball-sized brain tumor on his brainstem. And through the process, I'm not a doctor, but this is what I understand it to be. Through the process of them taking this tumor, he came out. Part of the optical nerve was fucked up. He ended up having a stroke in surgical ICU. And just it went from a handsome young man who I was a decent athlete. That was one thing I had as a kid too. He was a better one. I don't think I'm bad looking. He was better looking. Like I had resentments against this kid from a young age. You know what I mean? And like he had all that taken away from him. And now he's handicapped. He spent a lot of time in a rehabilitation center. He's blind. And what happened was that I was embarrassed of him. I became embarrassed of him. I didn't want to be, like, everything was about his wants and his needs. You know, my grandparents were always trying to, you know, were there to take care of him. No one came to my baseball games no more. Nobody cared if I did good in school. None of that shit. You know, and so, like, the self, hey, it's all about me. He fucking almost died. And I can't stop thinking about me. And me, and why ain't this happening for me? Or why aren't you caring about me? Me. Hey, it's crazy. And like, so like life progresses and our relationship never really gets better. My mom, the disease that was in her life manifested differently. And like it became all about like she catered to his every need. He lived with her, yada, yada, yada. And I would duck in and out of their lives occasionally when I would need a place to crash and all that shit. And what happened, one of the last times I crashed there after I got out of jail is that I kept trying to inject my will and telling her how she should take care of my brother and all the things that he should be doing for himself because he's got all this help that's available to him. And I ain't doing shit. I'm 30 years old living in on the fucking recliner in the spare room. I ain't doing shit, but I'm trying to tell other people how they should live their life. And what it did for him is he pretty much said, fuck you, I can't be here with you. And he went out and he did get some of the help that he needed. And he did get his own place. And he dealt with what we deal with in here too. And through the first month of him being on his own, he had an attempt on his life. And through that attempt on his life, he ended up in a treatment center. And he found his way into another fellowship. And then through being in that other fellowship, found some fellowshipping. Found some people that loved on him and took him places and did things. And he probably found a little bit of recovery, maybe. I don't know. But I know that he found people who cared about him and loved on him and all that good stuff. But what I know about recovery today, and what I believe happened, maybe it's because the disease has painted this picture, I don't know, but what I believe happened is that on July 4th, 2013, when all the fun shit was over, and the people from that fellowship took my brother home, and he was left alone with the disease of addiction and no recovery process, he took all of the fucking antidepressant medicines and he took his life. No solution. No recovery process. Just the act of fellowshipping. Hey, I love fellowshipping. I love hanging out, doing this shit, hanging out with y'all, man. But I need the recovery process. I need people who can help. We need people who understand our disease and the recovery process. Hey, and how can we help? By having people who can help us. You know what I mean? Like, hey, so he takes his life, man, and I try to be there for my mom, and I do what a good addict does, and I help her get ready for the funeral, and I steal all the fucking coin collection, and I do all that shit. And I remember being in the funeral home. I don't want to waste too much time on this anymore. Being in the funeral home, and I couldn't come out of the bathroom, man. I couldn't come out of the bathroom. My daughter beating on the fucking door. Like the other fellowship came and presented my mom with an infinity medallion. They didn't know he killed himself. I didn't find out that my brother took his life until last year. Almost 8 years into the recovery process. I lived under the illusion that he did die in recovery. And maybe a power greater than myself needed me to believe that. It allowed me the room to grow without. I was already beating myself up for the fucking all the missed opportunities with him, man. And so, like, when I got to a point where I was strong enough, last year, I found out that he actually took his life because I had to close a bank account that had been open for 8 years and I needed to get a death certificate. Nobody told me. You know what I mean? Nobody told me. I used to carry around an infinity medallion thinking he died clean. He didn't die clean. You know what? He took his life, and that's all here and there. But through that event, man, like, there's a question in the first step that talks about, like, what crisis or event brought you to recovery. Initially, man, like, that thing started a chain reaction of events that eventually ended me back into an institution, that eventually ended me up in, like, another fellowship for a little while, in and out. Because back where I'm from, man, I came from the fort to the fort. I'm from Fort Dodge, Iowa. My home group is the Recovery at Work group, Fort Dodge, Iowa. We're an interactive literature discussion meeting with personal sharing at the beginning. Y'all, some of y'all probably see this and think, oh, here we go, these book-reading motherfuckers. Hey, but it's what we do, man. The program's in here. The program has the power to change lives. Like, this was written by our predecessors. You know what I mean? But all I had early on in Fort Dodge, Iowa, a town of just under 25,000 people, all there was the other fellowship, man. The other fellowship flourished, multiple meetings a day, and there was one meeting of Narcotics Anonymous on a Friday night, and what I know it to be today wasn't necessarily Narcotics Anonymous. It was members of that other fellowship showing up on Friday nights, taking key tags, clapping for each other, never opening a fucking book, never talking about anything, and then telling us that we're coming out of institutions or off the streets, that if you needed to recover, you were going to do it over there with that book, with sponsors in that fellowship, because that's all we do. And recovery is great here in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Hey, motherfucking addicts are dying. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this is where I identify the most, one of the places I identify the most in our literature. And one of my earliest, my first grand sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous used to juice me up with this shit. And I called him a while ago today, talked to him, man, because I love him to death. And he would always say, Gene, like, how's it feel to walk in Jimmy Kennan's shoes? And I'm like, shit, okay, I'm walking in Jimmy Kennan's shoes. So right here it talks about, when my addiction brought me to the point of complete powerlessness, uselessness, and surrender some 15 years ago, there was no NA. I found AA, and in that fellowship, met addicts who had also found that program to be the answer to their problem. That's what was happening where I'm from. It's what happens still. Many places all over the fucking world. You know what I mean? Many addicts have went in there and found that program to be what was working for them. However, I'm of the however. However, many We knew that many were still going down the road of disillusion, degradation, and death because they were unable to identify with the alcoholic in AA. That's where I was at, man. I spent my first year of abstinence or recovery, whatever you want to call it at that point, in and out of them meetings, dreading a lifetime of meeting attendance. I was dissatisfied. I didn't necessarily believe that it could work for me. I was still degrading myself in my own eyes, and I was on my way to death. I made it to almost 2.5 years abstinence from the use of mind and mood-altering substances, and fucking still couldn't figure out why I wanted to kill myself. No program of recovery. 10 months clean, I buried my mother. You know, we were able to work on our relationship a little bit after I got a few months under my belt, you know, and like she ended up dying of cancer, you know, and I was able to, you know, do a little bit of work in that area. But after that, man, I just quit going to meetings, man. I lived in a 3-quarter house. I went to work. I jumped into that, slept with as many women as I could. I started stealing from stores because I found out is like you get an address with a P.O. box or where mail can come, is that all the places that you've owed money to, they want their money. So like student loans, back child support, taxes, all these things catch up with me, man. And I'm fucking, half of my wages are being garnished weekly. And so like I still want things. I still want to cover up the feelings. So I'm going to stores and stealing things like movies or whatever just to try to, I want to watch a good movie. So I'm trying to do whatever I can do to feel good. You know, and wondering why I'm dying on the inside. I can't figure it out. I didn't have anybody to tell me yet that I suffer from a disease. No one told me. Our literature says after coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. Some things were happening, though. Things were lining up. Like, there's been people being placed in positions in my life long before I ever got here. You know, like, I ended up at a convention in Narcotics Anonymous, man, because, like, a guy came back to Fort Dodge who got clean in Omaha, Nebraska. His mom was dying of cancer. This ain't coincidence shit. His mom was dying of cancer. And, like, I got to talk to him about, like, what it was like my mom just dying of cancer. And he's like, because I had made a decision finally to go back to this one NA meeting a week. I was going to go to this meeting, and if I could do it for 2 to 3 months in a row, maybe I'd take a 2-year tag, whatever, you know. And through doing this, he's like, man, you need to go to this convention and check it out. And really what I did is I went to this convention because I knew a girl in Omaha that I was fucking with over social media, and I went there to hook up with her, really, and maybe go check out this thing a little bit. And what happens, I get to this convention in Narcotics Anonymous, me and 4 other guys from Fort Dodge, and I never left the convention. I got greeted with a hug, and I was told things like, we're glad you're here, we love you. And I couldn't fucking understand that. I was hearing the message of Narcotics Anonymous without knowing what the message of Narcotics Anonymous was. I was hearing people share open and honestly. I heard a man share from the podium, and he swore. And that may sound funny, but initially that's what I was identifying with. He spoke my language. He said, I say fuck a lot. If you don't like it, call your sponsor. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't even know. I was like, but yeah, woo! That's fucking great. I can get with that. You know, and I introduced myself to him, and he was from Iowa. And where I said where I was from, he said, yeah, man, it's really blurry up there. I didn't get what that even meant. You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, and I started calling him. We left that convention. All we talked about all the way home is, man, we want to start an NA meeting. We want to start a meeting. We didn't know how. We didn't know what we were doing. And we seek some information from this gentleman and his sponsor. This guy's name was Scott. It is Scott. He became my first sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous. And he's one of the most dramatic experiences that has happened to me in Narcotics Anonymous. He gave me the program in Narcotics Anonymous. He gave me a love for the fellowship in Narcotics Anonymous. He helped me cultivate some of my earliest relationships in Narcotics Anonymous. Took me to conventions. We went all over the place. He's dropping it like it's hot, sharing his ass off. I'm thinking, there ain't no fucking way, man. We're going to do this forever. And he's using today. Walked away from the fellowship, man. Got cut off. The disease of addiction insulates us. Whatever. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't even really care anymore. I've got some closure in that area today, but it fucking hurt, man, for a long time. It hurt for a long time. But again, things were already being laid in, like they were already being laid out. You know, through being at a convention, I heard a CD. I took the CD home. My wife hears this CD. She's my girlfriend at that time. And through that meets this woman who becomes her sponsor. And we end up at Hanging in the Fort 5 years ago. hanging at the fort, is at the hotel downtown, and it's the first time I've been to a convention away from this regular group of guys that I'm with. You know what I mean? And like I'm scared and I'm alone again. I got this NA purist shirt on because I think I'm a fucking gunner. Like I'm an NA guy. I got about 1 year worth of some NA shit, and all I know how to do is read some stuff to you. I just probably not long before that learned what the NA message was. I heard on it. Hey, this is funny. I heard on a speaker tape because I would listen to a lot of NA shares. I was in love with I was falling in love with Narcotics Anonymous. You know. And I remember I heard a guy talk about our message. You know, message is an addict, any addict, you know, all that stuff. And like I kept going back, rewinding, so I could memorize it, so I could go to the meeting and drop that shit. I went to the meeting and dropped that shit, and nobody knows nothing. And they're like, fuck yeah, that's great. It's in the book. Hey, it's in the book. Nobody knew it was in the book, man. It's crazy. Crazy. So, like, but anyway, I guess I got this NA purist shirt, because, like, I'm, early on, man, I was, like, all the fresh NA gear would drop, I had to have it. You know, I got to have it. My membership relied, it didn't rely on that, but I was validating my membership with, like, NA tattoos and NA fucking shirts and all that stuff, man. That ain't what my membership today is. Like, I'm a member because I want what we have to offer, and I'm willing to make the effort to get it. I'm a member much more than because I'm of the pirate contingency. Arr. Hey, man, I don't know about all that. Hey, like, it takes a little bit more to be a member than that. But if that's a start, okay, that's good. So, like, we end up hanging in the fort, man, and, like, I'm scared, and I'm wandering around, and I had another guy that's really a close part of my life, man, Marty Moe. You probably heard that name. He's one of those famous speakers. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, he was with a bunch of people he knew, but I had met him once, and I'm too shy to go introduce myself to him. You know what I mean? And they were kind of clicked up, and it was cool, and I'm like, whatever. So I'm just wandering around, and Richard, man, scooped me up. Man, Richard scooped me up, and they took me to a meeting, and I met Tyler, and I met Antonio, and I met people that weekend, man, that are still a part of my life today, man. They took me to a meeting, and I went to that fucking meeting, and then something crazy happened. I get out the meeting, or out the car to go in the meeting, and everybody got out with these book bags. I'm like, damn, what's this all about? And this is just little shit that started to work in my life. They were carrying their literature with them to the meeting. I'd never seen that before. And I'm like, okay. And that's the first time I ever heard Terry share. Terry's my sponsor today. I love Terry. I hope y'all love him too. You know what I mean? For real. And
we love him.
I love him, man. Like, he gives me the program in Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? And like, it was just little things like that, and we talked, and I remember, like, I had just met Tyler, man, and Tyler shared some things with me that, like, that were fresh in his life, man. You know, and I'm, these were relationships we're cultivating. You know, might not be the greatest at relationships, but what nobody can question that Gene B shows the fuck up. Like, I show up for Narcotics Anonymous, man. Like, if I love you and you got something going on in Narcotics Anonymous, man, like, hey, we drove through a goddamn whiteout last night. Like, I thought, I took off yesterday afternoon thinking I was going to miss the storm, and we spent 4 hours going fucking 20 miles an hour. Just, I looked at my dude, and I'm like, man, there ain't been a plow on this road in who knows how long. It was bad. It was real bad. But we knew we was going to make it. I'm from Iowa. We were used to snow, so it was cool, but it sucked. It made for a really long trip.
Yeah.
We show up, man.
Yeah.
We cultivate relationships, and we reciprocate the love that we've received. And this has got a huge part of my life, man. Like, the relationships with the men back there, over here, all over the place that I formed here are an integral part of what we have today at home. You know, like, through that, man, I got hooked up with the Recovery at Work group, man, which then became, like, it just got on my heart, man. And, like, that one group that we initially started, me and these four other guys, man, like, none of those guys stayed. I don't know why. You know what I mean? When I started, this program started coming into my spirit, it did something to me. It changed me. Like, I started to realize that I was a sick person. You know, after coming to NA, we realized we're sick people. Hey, but there's a solution. Like, there's a program. Like, they can be arrested daily. You know, all that stuff. I'm like, God damn, why was nobody talking about this? I formed resentments about that, too. Like, this has been a long... I've made mistakes. I've learned. I've been growing along the way. Like, I was very self-righteous early on. You know, like, in a place where nobody knew anything different than what it always had been. Like, I'm all of a sudden, like, wanting to police how you share in meetings. And I don't know a damn thing about traditions, but I'm protecting them somehow. You know what I mean? All that good stuff. And I've been able to, like, just tone it down, man. Tone it down, allow people to have their process. Love them where they're at, not where I want them to be. You know, allow them to hopefully keep coming back long enough that they maybe realize that we're doing something a little different. You know, that one meeting initially, it grew to 3 meetings. You know, and then now we started a different group that group has 3 meetings. You know, and like I've got sponsees that have started groups because like where we're from, man, there's a need for meetings. So people will be like, let's start a meeting. And like there's a meeting almost the only day of the week there's not a meeting is Tuesday, unfortunately, but that's coming. There's multiple meetings some days, man. Like we're flourishing. Like I'll get fucked up sometimes and want to compare to like to Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Lincoln, or Dallas, or Fort Smith, or wherever. I want to compare things. It's a defect of character in my life, is comparison. I want to compare things. But the reality is, man, I'm from Fort Dodge. And what we do in Fort Dodge is amazing, man. Like we're making our fucking mark, man. We're a part of something that's huge. We're growing. We're available. Like today, you don't have to come out of an institution or off the streets and wander into a fucking meeting and be told that you have to do it this way. Hey, if that's the way you want to do it, you can. But if you want to do it this way, it's available too. Like people are fucking with. Hey, we're visible and available to serve this fellowship. You know what I mean? Like it's been an amazing thing to be a part of. There was something else. Well, yeah, there's a few things else. But now I drew a blank, and that's crazy. So I've been able to might meet the love of my life in Narcotics Anonymous through taking a little bit of time to work on myself. I met my best friend, you know, and did some things that people don't normally do in recovery, is take your time to get to know someone, you know. So like I found out that I actually liked her before I slept with her, you know. That had never happened before, you know. I get to like watch men grow. You know, like I said, I get to, you know, love these men that are in my life like they're my brother. You know what I mean? I got a lot of work to do. I make mistakes often in this process, but like I can grow. You know, like I've got amazing people around me who show me how to live the Narcotics Anonymous way. You know, and through doing that, like I just try to line up and continue to do what's available, you know, what I can, whenever I can. And coming back here has been a huge part of that. Like I didn't, like I said, we were coming anyway. But it's really cool that it happened this way. And when I originally asked Pat what the topic was, because I was hoping to have a general direction to go, because like I said, I want to pre-plan and practice my shares. And he hit me with, we're back. That ain't what you told me, Pat. You told me we're back. And hey, because I'm sick, I'm like, where the fuck did we go? Hey, like we went through something as a fellowship, and you were sharing about it earlier. Thank you for sharing. And like the Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship's ability to grow and do things through the pandemic was a great testament to our resiliency. You know, I was never a fan of the online platform. I'm just keeping it real with you, man. It didn't do it for me. I did it when I had to do it. But the reality is, man, we met in the basement of my house 3 times a week. We met in one of my guys' sponsees' kitchen. We met. Like, we kept fucking meeting. You know, like, I needed the hug. I needed the contact with members of Narcotics Anonymous, man. Like, and that's just what we did. You know, like, I traveled 30,000 miles in 2020, man. I don't know. Like, I went all around the fucking country. And I probably damn near died from COVID, to keep it real with you. In late February, early November of 2020, I was supposed to be at this convention and didn't make it because I was in the hospital. I had a tube in my side, double pneumonia, fucked up, and like when I get out of the hospital is when like people like Iowa gets its first case of COVID. I probably had COVID. You know, I don't know. Damn near died. Went septic, was way worse than, hey, I learned at that point, we talk about medicine, religion, and psychiatry not being sufficient for us. It's not sufficient for the disease of addiction if you're an addict. That's what I believe. Hey, Narcotics Anonymous at that point was not sufficient for what was going on in my life. Like, I had people love on me, and it was great. I had, you know, people come, want to bring me a meeting and shit. I needed medicine. I needed a fucking doctor. You know, like, that's what was going to be sufficient for that part of my life. I needed that shit. But what I'm getting to is, like, some of us never left. You're like, we are back, and that's great. I'm glad we're here. Hey, man, like hanging in the fort, 2022. We're going to have a great, amazing weekend. It's a celebration of what we do in Narcotics Anonymous. But, like, let's not forget that some of us never left, and some never made it back. Some never made it back to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, man, the disease of addiction took COVID and used it as a justification and a rationalization to not have to come to meetings. Because what happened back home, another resentment form for me, is that, like, all of our meetings did get shut down. Like, the reality is all of our meetings meet at a place where it's dictated by what they do. And when they couldn't meet, we could no longer meet either. So that's why we went underground to an extent. And when the meetings were allowed to open back up, hey, we're fucking back, man. Our home group, we met. And other groups didn't come back. You know, other members didn't come back. I don't know why. I'm subject to guess. And I guess it's because maybe they realized that they didn't need Narcotics Anonymous no more. Their life was just fine still. You know, had the COVID baby, did this, did that. I don't know. Whatever. I don't fucking forget the deadly nature of the disease of addiction. I don't want to forget that. And it ain't about me, Cody B. Like, it's about the newcomer, man. Like, the groups aren't opening back up. The newcomer's got nowhere to go. Some of us never made it back. You know what I mean? Thank God that those that did get clean and stayed clean and were able to recover on online platform, that's amazing. Hey, but we need those that keep the doors open too. And we need, you know, and when you're able, when you're ready, come back to the meetings, man. We need you at the meetings. That's where we're back. Like, I don't know where I'm at with time. I don't really want to ramble and just start reaching for shit. I love Narcotics Anonymous more than words can ever adequately describe. I'm honored to be here. It's always, it's an honor to do this, man. I really am truly grateful for everybody that has done the work before me. And may I never forget, you know, what I suffer from and you know, fall back into, like, lack of gratitude, you know, or the lack of, you know, effort that's been put in, you know, for this moment of periods of freedom that I've found. I'm butchered the fuck out of that. I just didn't want to reopen my book. You know what I mean? I don't want the lack of gratitude to sink in, man. You know what I mean? Gratitude's an action. You know, it's an action, and I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. And so I show up, I suit up, I do what's asked of me, man, and I love you, and I continue to do that because how can we help again? We need to continue to help people find the program in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, so that people like my brother don't just get the fellowship, man. Like, I don't want just the fellowship. When I'm struggling and the disease of addiction has its fucking foot on my throat, if all you can give me is a hug and tell me, like, let's get a bite to eat, that's great. But I need a solution. I need some motherfucking help, man. We need people who can help each other. So do some work, man. Go to meetings. Be of service. Take this shit serious. I don't want to die today, man. And I need y'all to be in my life. Thanks for letting me share.